Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 470 for Sunday, January 29th, 2017, are David Jewart.
Good evening, everybody.
Richard Grady.
Hello, everyone.
And Terry Hawkins.
This is the best day ever.
Drink up, me hearty yo-ho.
Yes, we've been through 10 beer casts, a scotch cast, and now tonight, it's the long-awaited rum cast. But before we get too deep into the rum, I do want to take a quick moment and thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so that you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. So, as I mentioned in the intro, this one's been a long time coming. We've talked about doing it a few times before, but after, I think, in particular, the last Diz Dad's Club convention beginning of this month, it was pretty clear that, you know, rum is on the mind of many a Diz Dad. So I think maybe we should get started by just talking a little tiny bit about what it is, right? I mean, we talked, when we talked beer, we talk about what goes into the into making beer, you know, what it is, the kind it is. We did the same thing with the Scotch cast. What is it that makes rum different from other, you know, liquor, other spirits? Anybody want to get us started with that?
It's far more awesome.
Okay. So what does it come from?
It's sugar cane.
Yeah. Okay. So Richard, I think you hit on it there.
Yeah. It's basically sugar cane or molasses, mostly sugar cane, where they cut the cane when it hits a certain sugar level, press out the juices and ferment them.
Right. So originally, rum was a way to use up the waste product from making sugar, right? They would press out the what they could from the sugar cane to refine into sugar, and then they had this glop left over that was molasses and, you know, no real plan for how to use it. And then they figured out that that stuff ferments, and it ferments really kind of well. As a matter of fact, Dave, you've talked in the past about, you know, kind of that history of the IPA and how, you know, it was brewed a little differently because it lasted a little longer and worked longer on a ship, right?
Right. So forgive me, I don't quite know my rum history as well. I kind of stick with barley-focused spirits and fermentables. But I think we've kind of gone down this road before, correctly, we were talking about on a previous podcast, weren't we?
Well, a little bit, right? We talked about IPAs and how they stored, and you know, basically they'd go through the rum or through the beer first because it would spoil first.
Right.
And then they would move on to the rum because it would store longer.
Right. Yeah. Higher alcohol content makes sense. It's a distilled spirit, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it would just keep maturing in those casks.
Right.
Unlike beer that eventually would skunk.
Exactly. Eventually.
Right.
Eventually.
Right. So it's a distilled spirit. It's got a, you know, relatively high alcohol content, obviously, as compared to beer, but normally we're talking something in the range of, what, about 45%, 47% alcohol, something around there?
Yeah, I think most are anywhere from, what, 80 to 100 proof, really. I mean, I know they're coming out with, you know, some higher alcohol. What's cracking? It's up there, isn't it?
94.
Is it? Yeah. So
I think that's the standard. I think Kraken has a couple different ones, but the one in front of me says 94.
Well, they all do. And then you can get up to like the Bacardi 151s of the world where you're at, you know, you're pushing 75%.
Right, right. Where you're just
alcohol. Feeling. Yeah, yeah. Basically, if you want to make a flaming Dr. Pepper, which we should have for this podcast.
If I could have found some, I would have too.
Oh.
Right, because that's what we want. 151. We want the podcasting gear on fire.
Exactly. Well, why not?
Oh, yeah.
I have
this is the show to end all.
And I know for a fact that even though we're only about, 3 minutes into this podcast, I'm fairly comfortable saying that we really don't want Terry anywhere near an open flame.
Come on, guys. My watermelon's empty. I've started on the pineapple.
Honey, look at that.
This is awesome. Already, we're just minutes into it. It's already the best cop podcast I've ever done.
That's great.
All right. So in order to prepare for this podcast, like we've done on the previous alcohol-focused podcasts, we've each sort of gotten, a selection of things that we're going to do a little tasting with and talk about maybe, how we enjoy them, why we enjoy them the way we do. So, Terry, I think you've been working at this most assiduously. So we'll let you talk first while we can still make out individual words. And you can tell us a little bit about what rum you're drinking now and how you're drinking it.
Oh, all right. I thank you for that and for that kind consideration. the first one I did was a watermelon rum drink. So started off with a little bit of Captain Morgan Deluxe. Mix that in with some Bayou Satsuma, which to me has got a little bit of a bite that I don't care for. But then I guess that's the hint of that is the alligator on the label there.
Okay.
So about equal parts Captain Morgan Deluxe and Bayou Satsuma. Threw in some guava juice, some passion fruit juice, and it was still a little bitter for me, so I tossed in some grenadine. And all of that's into a hollowed out frozen watermelon. So you still got the watermelon juices in there, and as it melts, it gets a little bit sweeter. Just don't do what I did and level off the bottom of your watermelon because it leaks.
Uh-oh.
And so drink fast.
That's great.
Well, and then we're left asking.
Why is rum gone?
Exactly.
And the answer is because you leveled out the bottom of the pump or the bottom of the watermelon.
Yeah. So
the Captain Morgan special that you were drinking, is that a spiced rum or is it a dark rum, light rum?
No, it's a dark rum. Let's see, 40% alcohol. It's not bad. It's not my favorite dark rum. I like dark rums and light rums only when they're mixed in the fruity pinky out drinks that I tend to prefer. The spiced rums though are where I really love the spiced rums and, mixing that with a Dr. Pepper or a Pib for you guys down in the States or something like that brings out the spices and the spiced rums.
What does that mean down in the States? Mr. Pib, you think that's more popular than Dr. Pepper?
No, it's just, they just don't get it's not available here in Canada.
So. Are you serious?
Seriously, yeah.
Oh,
you have, you're saying Dr. I could like smuggle it across the border then? That's what I'm
hearing. You could. I prefer a Mr. Pib to a Dr.
Really?
Pepper.
Right. So a dark rum is going to be a rum that's got kind of that fuller body. It's going to stand up to aging pretty well. And they're going to do it. Aging rum is actually very similar to aging bourbon, right? Charcoal barrels, same idea. And then it's going to get those caramel notes out of being fermented from the molasses. And that's why it's darker.
Right. Yeah. So it's got a little bit more of that body taste to it, which I won't taste at all in a couple more hours.
So as you described it, it sounded to me a lot like the chilled monkey head drink from Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, the one that comes in the monkey.
That's correct. It actually inspired me, the monkey head one, though, because I was lacking some of the ingredients for that one. I sort of just went out on my own and mixed this one up. The chilled monkey head, for those that don't know, is Star African Rum, Vanderham Tangerine Liqueur, fresh lime juice, watermelon, and pineapple juice.
Yeah, so I'm a big fan. I thought it would be a little sweet tasty for me, but it wasn't. It's well balanced.
No, it is. It's very, that one was very, very good. And it comes with its own souvenir mug, which you will see a picture of.
Excellent. All right. So that's Terry's, you know, he does tend to go to those kind of fruitier kind of sweet drinks when he goes to his rum favorites. How about you, Richard? Where did you go for your rum beginning, at least tonight?
Well, for starters tonight, I had that last little remnants of my bottle of Kraken, which is now currently sitting in a cup. I made kind of an ersatz dark and stormy, which is basically just ginger beer and Kraken.
You need lime in there.
I thought I had lime juice, but I don't.
You know, you need limes.
It's one of those I thought I had, and I blame myself for not like actually checking the fridge before I made my shopping list today.
Nice.
Although the shopping list started with rum. More rum. Yep, more
nothing
rum.
Wrong with that.
And then, you know, at some point that just kind of dominated the entire thought process. I forgot some of the ancillary ingredients.
So with the dark and stormy, the lime is a balancing agent, but really, you know, the core flavors there are going to be your rum and the ginger, playing off, you know, giving a bit of a spice to the sweetness of the rum. Talk to us about Kraken a little bit. You know, that was one that I think Jay Gilbert enjoyed quite a bit, perhaps, during his Dad's Club convention.
Immensely.
I'm a big fan of Kraken.
So talk to us about Kraken. Why do you like it so much?
It mixes really well. It's got a good flavor, but it's something that easily balances against a lot of different things. So like a Kraken and Coke works just fine as an evening drink. If I want to do the dark and stormy, it works with that. I've started branching out and trying it with some other things. I'm not sure I'd do it with like some of the fruit juice drinks. I'll have to try it at some point, tonight. But however,
you gotta go with the Dr. Pepper or even root beer.
Well, I'm sad to say actually the one bottle of Kraken is now empty. But I have another.
So it will have to be another evening.
Oh, well, it may be later tonight. But
why is rum gone?
Well, that's bottle one. There's three other here, so I should be set.
So you're well stocked on Kraken.
And I have another full of the 1.5 liter or 1.75. I knew I was almost out of it, so that was one of the things I made sure to pick up today. Because last night I knew I was almost out for some strange reason.
So I guess with the ginger there, we've gone a little bit more down the spicy route than the sweeter route that Terry was on with his first round. I do tend to prefer my rum much the way I like my scotch, you know, just straight up neat. And I'm focusing on Dominican rum tonight because I got to pick up some good Dominican rum in the duty-free this past fall. So I'm starting with a Ron Barcello Imperial, which is, I'm enjoying it quite a bit as a sipping rum. You know, it's got that nice kind of nose to it, a lot like a good scotch does or a good bourbon. There's some floral notes to it, and it doesn't just smell like, you know, rubbing alcohol. and you get some good flavors out of it too. The finish is a little more abrupt than a scotch finish. You know, you get the flavors, and there's some complexities in there from the caramelization and all of that, but not the depth of flavor you would get from scotch, but still quite enjoyable. A little more on the sweeter side, and that's something that is I'm starting to appreciate a little more. I kind of stayed away from it for a while. That was one of my issues with bourbon. I kind of stayed away completely from bourbon for a while.
Come back to the dark side.
Yeah, Dave was among the folks who encouraged me to give it another shot, and I have since adapted.
Nice.
And am experimenting a bit more with bourbon now and then. So, but you know, this is one of the things I like about rum is that it's really versatile, right? You can use it a lot of different ways. I mean, Terry enjoyed it on the sweeter end and the fruity end. Richard went with spicy. I'm drinking it straight up. How about you, David? What's your rum style in this evening?
So here's my whole exposure to rum. Like, I am very novice when it comes to rum drinks. Normally, it's in the type of environment where you are going to have a pink fruity drink with an umbrella in it and not care about your masculinity. All right. I will mostly have rum drinks in that situation around a pool, at a beach. I'll just go to tonight. Tonight I am drinking a Dark and Stormy. I pulled a quick Louie here and went with three different Dark and Stormies. Okay. So I grabbed several of the rums that we have here in the house. We have Captain Aplenty here. We never have to play where's all the rum gone in this house when it comes to Captain, and not because of me. Exactly. Then we actually had a bottle of Captain 100. So I made one out of that to taste the difference, which surprisingly there is one. And then, I think we'll get into the Lapu Lapu later. So we'll hold off on that story, but I decided to take a nod from that and go with a Lapu Lapu and Stormy. So that's Meyer's Dark Rum, a splash of Bacardi 151 in ginger beer, and it is not good.
I see. So you've learned the error of your ways. Is it still possible to dump that one out and rescue it in another fashion?
I'll figure that out as we go along here. But you know, you look at a lot of these. We'll stick with Dark and Stormy. We're talking about kind of going on the more the spicier route, the more as savory, I guess, as you can get when it comes to a rum drink. Sticking with something like Captain or another spiced varietal is probably the way to go, because it kind of mirrors the ginger beer. And the other big thing about, well, pretty much any of these, I guess we can call them all mules, right? I mean, between the Kentucky Mule, the Moscow Mule.
Right, right. When you're mixing liquor and ginger beer, it's a mule of some sort.
Yes, yes. Except for this one. But the ginger beer is extremely important. So find one that you like, but find one that you don't like when you don't have alcohol in it.
Interesting thought. I just had never really considered that, because generally speaking, I try and stay away from, you know, mixing anything that I wouldn't drink if I wasn't mixing it.
Well, I'm a huge proponent of Gosling's ginger beer, which is a non-alcoholic ginger beer that you can get around here. I think it's a little more popular. I think it's kind of widespread. I don't know if you guys can get Gosling's or not, but you can get it in the grocery store. And it is one that, if I'm going to drink it straight out of the can, it is going to be over ice, and I'm going to put a ton of ice in it, put a little bit of ginger beer, and let it melt, because I honestly think this stuff was made to mix, because basically it's like you're chewing on a ginger root.
Yeah, I actually don't think you're wrong, because I know that I've seen it stocked in grocery stores, not with the rest of the soda, but over with the, you know, Bloody Mary mix and the Mai Tai mix and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, ours is kind of stocked in a tweener. It's like, it's not right next to the Canada Dry or the Schweppes. But it's interesting that this is one of the few things I will put in a drink that I won't drink alone. I mean, the other one is really kind of like Angostura bitters and Bloody Mary mix.
Okay, well, I won't hold that against you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So,
all right, all right. Well, those are all good starts. So, as we're working on these drinks, David got us started a little bit with the reference to the Lapu Lapu. We talked a little bit about the monkey head. Thought it might be good to kind of do a round of going around and talking a little bit about, you know, some of your favorite places to find rum or rum drinks at Walt Disney World. I don't know, Richard, do you have a favorite rum destination at Walt Disney World?
I haven't tried the new Trader Sam's in the Poly yet. I missed it on the last trip, but I did go to Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, and they have several very good rum drinks there. Here, wait a second. Let me pull up the. Oops.
They do. I've got it up here.
Good. I had to pull up the Disney Experience. So they had the. What were they? I didn't try the Barnstormer, but the. The Cool-Headed Monkey was really tasty, and the Wrong Island was really good.
Yeah, Terry,
yeah, that one looks really good. Jocks? Yeah, no, the Wrong Island there was going to be next on my list, but I couldn't do the bar crawl. I had my daughter with me, so right, one was right. Good.
Yeah, I was on a solo trip, and I had plenty of time to kill, so I was like, oh, I'm done with the Cool Monkey. I'll try the Wrong Island. I'll try. I was in there for a while. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, one of those kinds of nights.
Well, I couldn't get too intoxicated. Well, it was a race weekend, so I actually had to get up early the next day. But it wasn't the race I cared about. So, as long as I got to the start line, I was probably okay.
I mean, you mentioned that. I'm not so much a runner, but I will admit that one of the things that kind of keeps me from, you know, going in for more rum drinks and kinds of things that you would typically find on a bar menu is that the really high sugar content that you get from these drinks that are made with fruit juices and things tend to give me hangovers. And so I tend to avoid them because I'm trying to avoid, and that's why I loved discovering that there are these, you know, aged dark rums that sip really well. Because I can enjoy the rum without worrying about the mixers, you know, making me pay for it the next morning.
Yeah, I haven't had that problem, but I have to cut myself off kind of early because some of those rum drinks, because of the fruit juices and whatnot, they're deceptive. Like, you don't taste the alcohol content.
Oh, yeah.
And so you have a couple of them, you stand up and go, oh, wait, that was bad.
Right, well, that's the Jungle Punch
I should have stopped
right?
A drink ago.
That's the Jungle Punch problem, right? The party punch,
yeah.
Where the sweetness of the rum gets buried in the sweetness of the punch, and so you don't even notice the alcohol.
That's why they're so good.
That's kind of my first experience with a hard cider. And unfortunately, it wasn't me, but no, I was on a trip, and we're a bunch of Americans in England.
Is this the Great Britain trip?
Yes, the Great Britain trip, where the gal has like a bunch of them. And I don't feel any alcohol at all. It stands up and passes out, basically. Like, oh, that was interesting.
Yep, that's rum.
That's great.
And I could see it happening very easily with the Wrong Island. You have a couple of those. There's no alcohol in this whatsoever until you stand up.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, what's the movie, Varsity Blues? Where they walk out and they're like, it's 7 in the morning and they're like, oops. It's a lot of that going on when rum's involved. Especially when you add Everclear. But that's a different podcast.
Right. Well, I mean,
that's the great cast.
I mean, rum has its own kind of version of Everclear almost, right? I mean, you really get down to it and all these drinks... Is it just me, or does it seem like all of a sudden there are a lot more drinks at Walt Disney World that come with a float of 151?
Oh, so much more drinks that come with that. You're right. It's an infusion of them.
That just seems like completely counterintuitive to what they want to do there. Unless they're like, all right, the magic band worked. We got 13 more percent. What can we do to get 15 more percent out of each person?
Well, 151 and that's just works. It, right? Because if even if you can't, you know, sign your name because of too much Bacardi 151, you can still scan your magic band.
Oh, everyone knows their PIN number, drunk.
Well, see, what Disney really needs to do is push things like Irish coffee, where you wind up with, you know, whiskey and caffeine, because then you can be drunkenly alert for hours.
Well, and now you're getting us to what I was just doing a little surfing for, which is the menu at Nomad Bar. Because didn't I seem to recall that there were some coffee and tea drinks on the Nomad menu.
There are. Just trying to.
I have to go look.
I don't know, but that's exactly what we need to start, is a new Twitter handle that is Drunk at Rope Drop.
Yeah, but in order to do that, Dawa Bar has to open.
Yeah. No. You can visit special menu. If you do it right, you are still drunk from the night before.
No, come on, guys. You know, we're adults here. Everyone knows that you've had a screwdriver before 7 a.m. before, whether you were tailgating or whatever. Come on.
Well, it's orange juice. It's healthy, right?
Well, yeah, it's juice. So you're good to go.
There's bacon in those. They're Bloody Mary. So. But, you know, I don't see the coffee drinks on the alcohol menu there, Aaron. But there were. Oh, there's Mustang coffee.
I found some of it. I just knew better. I looked on touringplans.com instead of on their site. And found some of them. So there are a couple, right? There is, because they use, some of these drinks are made with tea and some are made with coffee. So there's the, DeLang's Delight, which is Star African Rum, Batavia Arak Van Oosten, Vanderhoom Tangerine Liqueur, and then Mountain Berry Tea, simple syrup and lemon juice. That one's a little bit too involved for me. I think that's a little sweet for my taste. But nevertheless, it involves tea. But the Night Monkey is...
The Night Monkey was good.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting to me about the Night Monkey is that it's kind of a coffee drink, but there's no actual coffee in it.
No, it's a coffee simple syrup.
Lime juice, cilantro, Bacardi Maestro rum, guava puree, and coffee syrup.
The guava puree just makes everything better.
Yeah, but cilantro, that's...
The cilantro surprised me, because I the lime juice and cilantro, like, I would have expected something spicier, and the Bacardi Maestro rum is not particularly spicy, is it, Terry?
No, it's not, and I didn't taste any cilantro when I had mine.
Well, maybe you got.
I can't remember if I had the leaping lizard first, but I still, regardless, it would. I'd have only been three or four in by that time, so.
Right. And the one I was really tempted to try, but it wasn't cold enough. Like I wanted cold weather to drink this one, and that's the Mustang Coffee, which is Crown Royal, brown sugar and butter with hot coffee. So it's basically a hot toddy.
And kind of a deconstructed rum.
Yeah, I mean, there's no actual rum in it, but you get the crown with the brown sugar creates a rum-like effect.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. And that, I think, is one of the things that we're seeing at some of these new lounges that are opening at Walt Disney World, is that they're getting a little more creative with the drink menu, and it's a nice change of pace. Like, it's not all the same... you know, heavily sugar syrup with some white liquor to make
stuff
all their drinks.
Inspired by College Bar.
Did you guys hit Abracadabra?
I did not this time, and I was disappointed I missed it, because it did look interesting.
Well, I only caught like the tail end of that conversation, because I had to go stop my dog from chewing a hole in the wall. Literally. Sorry. But when we were down this summer, talked to the dude who was opening the bar, and he was the bartender at the Poly DVC pool bar. And he was going to be on the opening team, and he was going over some of the stuff they were planning, and it was just completely not what you would consider standard touristy drinks. It was pretty sweet. So I just wondered if you guys got there, because I'm looking forward to it on my next trip.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was one that I still didn't get a chance to hit, just because for whatever reason this year for Diz Dad's Club convention we were over more towards Disney Springs most of the time instead of in the Boardwalk area.
Well, why wouldn't you be? There's a lot over there.
Yeah,
a lot of good stuff. So.
So, let's see. Anybody working on a second round, something a little different that they want to talk about a little bit?
I'm working on the second round. I'm nearly done.
Okay. So did you change things up a little bit, or did you just recharge the watermelon?
Oh, no. The watermelon's gone. It's done. This one is a pineapple. Again, you core it, freeze it. Thank you, Carl, for that tip. Freezing the pineapple so you got a nice cup that keeps your drink nice and cold. Then I added a couple shots of pineapple rum, coconut rum, a little bit of orange juice and pineapple juice. And that was it in this one. And it is very tasty. The pineapple just really adds to the flavor there too.
All right. That's an interesting one. And now we're getting into some of the issues that, you know, a little different kind of rum here. We're talking about flavored rums. I think my favorite use for flavored rums that I find around Walt Disney World is that, you know, the dosed Dole Whip is becoming much easier to find these days. Usually with dark rum, but you also find it sometimes with coconut rum. And I think I like it especially well with that coconut rum.
Yeah, it's heavenly with the coconut rum. Much better with Adam. Mm. But if you don't have the Adam additive, then the coconut rum at Tamu Tamu is a wonderful addition.
Yes. And you'll sometimes find it at Epcot. You know, basically, if they've got an excuse for a festival booth, you can find it there. And I thought I saw that they were serving them even out of the Pineapple Lanai now, but maybe not.
They should. You'd think that would be a given there.
So David, you want to talk a little bit about your doctored Lapu Lapu yet?
let's see here. Hold on. Yeah, no, I haven't played with it that much yet.
Oh, okay.
I haven't played with it, but I know we were kind of hitting on rum drinks around the world. I have to say one of the most prevalent, I think it's on every standard drink list, the Captain's Mai Tai.
Yep.
Actually pretty decent.
Yeah, I think that one's pretty much on the sort of the standard bar menu. So you'll find that just about anywhere.
Yeah.
It's a decent sort of fallback drink, right?
Right. It's your standard Mai Tai with Captain instead of a clear rum like Bacardi or whatever.
Right. Instead of a lighter rum.
Right. Then they float the Myers Dark on it. I know the wife is a fan. But it's one of those that it's nice because, you know, whatever pool you're at, or frankly whatever establishment you're eating at, it's there if you're in the mood for rum.
Right. And it's a good one where, you know, if the spouse says, oh, just, you know, grab me something while you're up there, right? It's a pretty safe bet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's pretty sweet, but not overly sweet. And it has Captain, and I don't know anyone who doesn't like Captain. So,
well, you know, speaking of, as long as we're on the topic of the spicier rums, I am venturing into sort of experimental territory with the mixed drink here. As I mentioned, I generally prefer to drink rum neat, but one of the other things we picked up in the Dominican on our way back at the duty-free shop was a rum called Mama Wanna Spicy.
Nice. That's got to be good.
It's not particularly strong. It's only 60 proof. And I wasn't really sure what to mix it with because I don't do a lot of mixers. But this one is a happy accident surprise that I'm enjoying quite a bit. We had some of that Arizona tea, Arizona green tea. And my wife had bought some of this Arizona green tea with ginseng and honey. And I just dumped some of this Mama Wanna Spicy in the ginseng and honey green tea. And it goes really well together.
Now, see, that's something that I would never have guessed. Because I've tried that Arizona tea before, like that flavor. Yeah. And I can't that's the one flavor I can't stand.
Oh, really? See, I kind of like the ginseng and honey. It's a little sweet, so I don't drink it all that often.
If you mix it with something, then it's one of those things that can take on an entirely different taste.
Right. Well, and that's the spicy, the spicy rum is a really nice counterpoint to what I think is sometimes overly sweet aspect of the tea. And it kind of brings out that ginseng flavor that I do like. I almost wish that I had like some ginger to spike it with, because that's the last thing I need. It just needs just a little more, which I tried to fix by adding just a little more rum, and it's still good, but not quite the spicy that I was looking for.
There's something that more rum did not fix? Inconceivable.
I'm going out on a limb and saying cayenne pepper. Throw a little bit of that in. I don't know. My pineapple's empty. I got to go get my monkey head. I'll be back.
Yeah, I should say I'm drinking this out of my chilled monkey head glass. So, all right. So Richard, what's next up for you here?
I am actually almost done with my Pirate and Dr. Pepper mix. Pirate is, it's PYRAT. It's a Guyanese, product of Guyana rum. Apparently they're part of the Patron family, which I did not know, but it's a squat little bottle. It's got a cork on the top. If you ripped off the label and threw it into the background of one of the Pirates movies, it would look perfectly in place. Like it's a, yeah. No, I mean, it's a squat little bottle. It's like, it's as wide as my, that 2 liter bottle of Kraken. But it's only about 4 inches high. You honestly would think this thing would sit on a ship. It's not going to tip over at all.
Right.
And it comes with this bottle. Right. It comes with this little metal Buddha medal on it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I had a friend give this to me last year. And as I was saying before the podcast, it was not my first drink of the night. And it was well past the fifth drink of the night. I think it was like 8 or 9. And like, oh, it seems great. Yeah, sure. This is great stuff. And so I kind of went on a limb and hoped that it was still good as a first or second drink of the night.
Right.
I tried part of a shot neat. It's spicier than the Kraken is. It's certainly got more of a heat spice to it as opposed to a, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. It's more of a cayenne type hot. Than,
right. But it goes really well with the Dr. Pepper.
Interesting.
And the Dr. Pepper kind of mellows it out, but it brings out the Dr. Pepper spice notes. And it fits really well. And it's not a case of I'm pouring like these, giant things for myself, because I've got 4 rums to go through. So
yeah,
I'm pouring like quarter shots really to half shots.
Like in hot chocolate.
I might have to try that. It's going to snow for like
Central
the next 3 days.
Mexican
so.
Chocolate taste. You bring up another good point when you mention it's from Guyana. One of the things that I like about rum, or that I'm learning to like about it, is that it's much less standardized, for lack of a better way to put it, than other spirits. Like, that decent scotch comes from this fairly narrow geographical area in Scotland. And it has to, because that's the rules. there's a fairly narrow swath of the United States where you're going to find that good bourbon is made.
Right, just like a Pilsner has to be from a certain area, Champagne really has to be from a certain area. Otherwise, yeah, it's similar to, but not quite the same.
Right.
And you're raising a very good point here, Aaron, and that's because rum is the everyman's drink. Right. Everybody can brew it, everybody can make it, and it's awesome.
Well, and what is cool about it is that it is common. I mean, you know, it's generally from places that were able to produce lots of sugarcane, right? Because that's logically where it came from. But there's this really broad sort of, range of different approaches to rum that come from all of these different sort of Caribbean islands that each kind of developed their own style, their own preferences. And so you get rum from the Dominican, from the Bahamas, from Guyana, from Puerto Rico, and each of them, you know, Cuba, each of them have their own sort of unique approach. And it's kind of fun, right? I mean, you know, too bad that you can't have the kids drinking rum with you, because it'd be great for geography lessons, right?
Sure,
why not? It would be.
Works for me. Well, see, then it's history, too, because, you know, there's a whole triangle trade aspect of the rum trade. So, you know, perfect. I'm sure I can incorporate that into a lesson plan.
There you go.
And then get fired by any school system that would hire me in the first place.
This is why God invented homeschooling.
Mr. Grady, why did you get fired from the last place? Well, on the first day, I taught them about triangle trade. Okay. And I introduced rum. What do you mean introduced? I brought it into the classroom.
All right. Well, on that note, what are some other places or specific drinks even at Walt Disney World that you, particularly enjoy when you're looking for a rum drink? I mean, we talked specifically so far about Trader Sam's, about Nomad Lounge, talked about things you find on sort of the standard bar menu. What are some other places where you can, find good rum drinks?
Well, just about every pool, you know, whether it be one of the water parks or just the pool at your resort, is going to have a good rum drink. But by far, I think the best, you know, you're going to find your Mai Tais, you're going to find your Hurricanes. But for pool bars, and that's a really great place to enjoy a rum drink, by far, I think the best pool bar to enjoy a rum drink is Stormalong Bay, and you get your Category 5. And that sucker is going to put you on your butt. You know, every place else has got a Hurricane. Stormalong Bay has got a Category 5. So that's
not kidding about it, apparently.
No, it's a really good one to start the party. It's Captain Morgan Spiced Cream, the banana, peach snaps, orange and pineapple juice, a splash of grenadine, and of course the float of Bacardi 151. But that sucker is just fantastic. Then you follow that up with a Cocojito, which is coconut rum, coconut water, and a fresh lime juice with soda water. That's a really light one. But it's the Category 5 that you want to start off the party with, or end it with, depending on your tolerance levels.
Right, right. Yeah, but that sounds like it's a nice collection, really, of rum drinks that are available at the pool bar right there at Stormalong Bay. I mean, you know, you don't even necessarily think about the pool bar when you think about how terrific Stormalong Bay is as a pool complex. But, you know, it's one of those aspects that kind of takes it to the next level. It's not just the sand bottom pool. It's not just the slides. There's even a great pool bar.
Yeah. And it's got a great food menu. And in addition to what I've mentioned, they also have the banana cabana, and then they've got frozen pina colada. So that's a slush type of drink with black rum and pina colada mix. Sorry, starting to slur a little bit. We're partway through the monkey head drink here now. So
right, and that's the Kalava, right? The one that you sound like you're slurring when you order.
Exactly. Yeah. And every rum drink should sound that way. I'll have okay. Gotcha, buddy.
Have any of you guys tried the Southern Hurricane at River Roost?
No,
I have not. And I was just at River Roost, and I went with the Bullet Manhattan instead.
Because the last time I was there, I was doing Moscow Mules instead. But it's a really not. Yeah, I like River Roost. It's a nice place to sit back and hang out for a while, watching a Yeehaw Bob, because it's a fun show.
Right, right.
But I didn't realize they had a rum drink on there. And I'll be honest, I'm kind of lazy. If I have to mix more than two or three things into a drink, I may not do it at home.
This is why I was happy that this tea thing worked, right? Because, you know, it's a mixed drink that I can do without having to mix anything.
Well, most really good rum drinks require a lot of sweet mixes, in my opinion. Like, you know, the ones you want when you're on vacation, you don't do them at home. But you want them on vacation, and you don't do them at home because they've got five or six different items to it, as opposed to just a spiced rum and Dr. Pepper. Right. But that's why when you're on vacation, it's so nice to actually enjoy the special concoctions that come up and
someone else makes
have a little umbrella in them.
Right. I mean, the River Roost Lounge, you know, their Southern Hurricane looks to me to be a spot on hurricane. I mean, you know, they do a Myers Dark Rum, Don Q Cristal Rum, tropical juices, and then a float of Southern Comfort, which is sort of an interesting addition there.
Oh,
instead of the 151 float.
Oh, I just got heartburn. from Southern
Comfort. Yeah, but that sounds actually really good.
Yeah, just got heartburn.
So now we've sent Terry back to the liquor cabinet looking for the Southern Comfort.
But it's all the way downstairs, and there's stairs involved. There's stairs,
yeah. I was just going to say, you could get there, but getting back to the mic would be the problem.
Yeah.
Wow. No one could go downstairs.
Yeah, going downstairs isn't really walking. That's just controlled falling.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Mine are nice and curved. I can just sort of roll along the wall as they go down.
Well, it only took us 35 minutes to go completely off the rails.
Yeah, but you knew we had to get there eventually.
Of course.
Were we on the rails at any point?
Yes.
Much longer than I thought.
I'll get us back on.
Okay.
I doctored up the Lapu-Lapu abomination that I made.
Yes, the pseudo-Lapu.
Yes, the Lapu and Stormy, which turned into a Lapu Lapu and Stormy screwdriver without the vodka. Okay. So I added some orange juice. So it's now currently Myers Dark Rum, a little bit of 151, some lime, some Gosling's ginger beer, and then probably about 5 ounces of OJ.
Interesting. And is it now drinkable?
Yeah. Weirdly drinkable. It's like it tastes like cream soda, and I don't know how that happened.
Oh wow, that's awesome!
I mean,
getting vanilla flavor out of there somewhere.
It tastes like cream soda on the front end, and then the orange juice kind of takes over at the back, like the acidity of it.
Right.
But yeah, it's really freaking weird. It's good though. So. Hey,
right.
Whatever.
So it's not one of those like, oh, this is terrible. Here, try it. Have some more of it.
It's like the Flaming Mo.
Exactly. It's exactly like the Flaming Mo. That's the point, right? Mm-hmm. It's like there's no reason these things should come together and make that flavor.
Exactly. Oh. So yeah, at least I saved the rum. Nice.
Well, you know, we can't talk about Walt Disney World and rum drinks without talking about the Polynesian Resort, because it's got multiple excellent destinations for rum drinks. you know, everybody's going to talk about Trader Sam's, and we'll talk about Trader Sam's here in a minute. But you don't want to forget, don't sleep on Tambu Lounge. You know, that little hole in the wall next to Ohana has some terrific rum drinks.
They do. They've got the Lapu Lapu, which, I mean, that's Disney. You haven't been to Disney until you've had a Lapu Lapu. But my favorite there is the back scratcher. I mean, they've got two other rum drinks. They've got the Island Sunset, right?
Right.
And Parrot One.
Right, the Tropical Macaw.
Tropical Macaw, thank you. But the back scratcher is the one that I'll take that over a Lapu Lapu any day. And not just because it comes with the bamboo back scratcher, but...
Right, it's, because at this point, you know, you could scratch like all of Kelowna.
Pretty much. I've had to start specially requesting, don't give me the back scratcher. I've got enough of them. but that's a great drink, and it's not just the drink. It's you know, you touched on the Polynesian. I mean, there's. Any bar can serve you up a Mai Tai or a Hurricane, or if you give them the ingredients, make most of these rum drinks. But part of the rum drink experience is being in the right place for it. And, you know, be it by a pool or on a beach or the Polynesian resort, you know, it's part of that whole experience. You're sitting there, you feel like you're in Polynesia, you know, and then you've got the selection of the rum drinks that just ease your mind, and suddenly you've got a second vacation for the price of one.
I can see the thematic element adding to it, that, you know, you get more out of a rum drink in when you're in a Polynesian or a South Seas kind of environment, as opposed to this is a bar and they serve me a rum drink.
Right. And they do. I mean, you know, they go all in. I mean, it's not just a rum drink. It's every single one of these is a blend of multiple rums. Like they're making a real effort to create something different and notable. You know, the Island Sunset is spiced rum and coconut rum, and also these melon and peach and passion fruit flavors. You know, Tropical Macaw is coconut rum and melon liqueur and pineapple juice and cranberry juice. So all of these things are kind of, you know, going all in with that sort of Polynesian feel.
Yeah, yep. you're just standing there and you're looking around for Mr. Rourke and Tatu, you know.
Da rum.
Hey, you got it. It's just, it keeps you away from any thoughts of home and work and that, doing exactly what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because we have a Lapu Lapu night at home once a year. I forget if I said this on the air or off the air.
It was off.
I think only off.
That's what I thought. Yeah. So I know I've told the Lapau story previously on a podcast. Long story short, we're walking out of the Polynesian after we had eaten at Ohana, and my wife had two Lapu Lapus, and we're walking out, and she says to me, "What are those drinks called again?" And I said, "A Lapu Lapu." And she said, "I thought they were called Lapaus, because I'm Lapaud." So ever since then, we've had Lapau nights at home, and for us as a family, or at least as for Brandy and I, because I don't think the little ones should be drinking Lapu Lapus, at least the alcoholic versions, which surprisingly they will make non-alcoholic versions of Lapu Lapus.
Oh, sure.
If you didn't know that.
Yeah.
They still charge you $14?
They charge you $20. Yes. Yes. So you can have the pineapple experience with everyone, but for my wife, it is not a Disney vacation until we go to the Polynesian and she has a Lapu Lapu. So whether we are staying there or not, the first lunch we have is at Kona, no matter what. So it's a Magic Kingdom day. Then we go to Kona, She gets her Lapu Lapu. She's officially at Disney World. So there's a special place in my heart for that rum drink. And it's funny that you spouted off several more rum drinks without even getting into Trader Sam's. I knew the back scratcher. I figured it was rum. The other ones, I had no clue. And frankly, my wife, who is the quote unquote rum connoisseur of the family, Winston agrees. She won't drink anything else there at all, except for Lapu Lapu. So,
right.
But on to Trader Sam's, I'm assuming.
All right. So I think we're probably getting fairly close to wrapping up. And you know, before we wrap up, we do have to at least talk a little bit about Trader Sam's. You know, Trader Sam's is sort of the patron saint of rum drinks, I guess, among bars. But I think that it's as much about the atmosphere and the show as it is about the drinks.
Yeah, I still haven't been. I tried again. There was a line. We couldn't get in.
I haven't been to the Disney World. I've been to the Disneyland one.
Right, right.
Which was an experience in and of itself. And the less said about that, the better. But okay, the less said about having to get into it, the better. But the actual experience itself was a lot of fun. I very much enjoyed that. It made the frustration worthwhile.
Yeah, if anybody's wondering how much fun it is, you gotta go back and search for the live feeds of Carl and the boys and their somewhat pricey afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, well, but okay, very fun. Here's the thing: we gave them trouble because they spent a whole lot of money at Trader Sam's, but they were there for about 4.5 hours.
They were there for 4.5 hours, and they had, I think, just about every specialty drink there you could have.
Yeah, and bought all the cups and mugs. I mean, I think Carl had them all except for the rum tasting set or something.
Yeah, and I lost track of how many Nautili they went down. But there was a lot of those, including one in, I think, 45 seconds. So, and for those that don't know, a Nautilus is I'm looking at the recipe here. It's Barbancourt Pango Rum, Apple State Estate Reserve, Combière Crème de Pêche de Vigne Liqueur, tropical juices, of which I think there's extremely little.
And that's what they serves four, right?
It serves four, and they give you straws, and you race to the finish. And like I say, 45 seconds between two of them. They had an extremely fun afternoon.
I imagine.
I am both sad that I missed the great fun time and happy that I missed the bill.
Yes. But the point I was making is that yes, it was expensive and it's going to be expensive, but I think if you ask every one of those guys, they had a great time and they really enjoyed the show of it all. Because you know, every time you order one of those specialty drinks, there's a whole, you know, production number that comes with it.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they, like you said, they really enjoyed that, really played that up. I think the rest of the patrons at the at Trader Sam's enjoyed it as well. Quite the pomp and circumstance.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I actually looked at that one. So at Disneyland, I looked at that one and went, wow, that sounds really good. Serves four. That sounds really painful on my own. Yeah, that seemed like a really phenomenally bad idea as a solo traveler. However,
as a solo traveler, probably true, because you might need help back to your room.
Yeah, that was That was kind of the thought, because, you know, Disneyland doesn't have that whole shuttle system and everything else that will get you back to the hotel, at least. Disney World, I'd probably try it. How much alcohol can there be in that, right?
Well, we can run through it for you again.
Oh, I it's pretty flammable, I know.
All right.
But, well, getting back to what you were saying there, Aaron, you know, I don't think there's any place better on property than Trader Sam's to enjoy a rum drink. But there are some other places that that come in, you know, second, third, fourth.
All right.
And some of those places, you know, deserve a little mention, because people might forget or neglect or not know that there's rum on the menu.
Right.
Places like Restaurantosaurus. You know, there's a fantastic pineapple and rum drink at Restaurantosaurus.
Now that's an interesting find.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, it's good. It's simple. It's just looking for the menu there, but what is it? It's just coconut rum, Midori, and pineapple juice. But it's delicious, and it takes the edge off of Dino Land.
Which definitely needs doing.
Yeah, and that's worth mentioning just for that point. You know, they've got the Safari Amber and the Bud Light water drink, but the Cretaceous cooler is really what you need to take that edge off waiting for your kids as they go through the hurl and whirl.
I like that ride.
Yeah, but think how much fun it would be after two or three of those rides.
It gets really fun as you sort of play who's going to get the spray. Is it going to be the crowd? Is it going to be the next car? Which one?
I have done Mission Space Orange after an evening at Rose and Crown, but that's a different story.
You know, of course, like I say, there's every pool bar. Is a fantastic place to enjoy a good rum, and they usually all have their own unique twist on a hurricane or something like that. But one of the places that, you know, doesn't get much mention because it is what it is. But if you're looking for your stereotypical fruity, sweet umbrella rum drinks, you know, you can't forget the and I'm forgetting the name here myself at the moment, the restaurant chain with the dinosaurs.
T-Rex
and the other one, the
Rainforest Cafe.
Just so you know, I'm three quarters of the way through my third rum. That's the monkey head that I've got, pineapple, coconut rum, deluxe, and a splash of passion fruit. So that explains the vacant brain every now and then. But you know,
I'm sorry, Tara, I didn't mean to interrupt, but is that the official
No
recipe, or is that just what you're drinking?
That's just what I'm drinking.
Okay. Just wondering.
I'll be ending the night with the Kraken, or I may try some Baron Samedi spiced rum and Dr. Pepper, but that'll probably be off air at this stage.
I thought about getting the Baron today.
No, it'll still be recorded.
You'll have to let me know how it is.
Just be added at the end.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, the Rainforest Cafe and T-Rex Cafe, you know, it's very artificial theming, but they have some really good rum drinks in those locations as well, you know, that just saddle yourself up to the bar, and pretty soon, you know, you're in prehistoric times.
All right. Well, you know, you've heard us talking about our favorite rum drinks and places to find rum drinks all around Walt Disney World. We'd love to hear from you, too, about you know, where you like to find a good rum drink at Walt Disney World. Maybe you'll turn us on to someplace we didn't think about. You can get those to us by sending us an email at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, I'm Aaron Ripmaster, drinking rum with David Jewart.
Hey, good night, everybody.
Richard Grady.
Good night, everyone.
And Terry Hawkins.
Pinkies out, boys.
Think we know why the rum is gone.
I neglected to mention in the podcast Dockside Margaritas. They've got an awesome Orange Grove Rum Runner, which you're sitting out in the middle of the water, fantastic to enjoy.
Now see, and you wouldn't even think to look for a good rum drink at a place that's called a margarita bar.
No, you yeah. wouldn't think. I'm looking all the time.
That's because you're always rum on the look out
for rum radar. He is Canadian rum radar.